أشهد أنك محمد وعلى محمد وبارك على إبراهيم وعلى آل إبراهيم إنك حميد مجيد. رب اشرح لي صدري ويسر لي أمري واحلل عقدة من لساني قولي اللهم فاعلم بما علمتنا وعلمنا ما ينفعنا وزدنا علما يا رب العالمين. أعوذ بالله من الشيطان الرجيم. بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم. ولقد عهدنا إلى آدم من قبل فنسي ولم نجد له عزما. وإذ قلنا للملائكة اسجدوا لآدم فسجدوا إلا إبليس أبى فقلنا يا آدم إن هذا عدو لك ولزوجك فلا يخرجنكما من الجنة فتشقى إن لك ألا تجوع فيها ولا تعرى وأنك لا تظمأ فيها ولا تضحى فوسوس إليه الشيطان قال يا آدم هل أدلك على شجرة الخلد وملك لا يبلى فأكلا منها فبدت لهما سوآتهما وطفقا يخصفان عليهما من ورق الجنة وعصى آدم ربه فغوى ثم اجتباه ربه فتاب عليه وهدى قال اهبطا منها جميعا بعضكم لبعض عدو فإما يأتينكم مني هدى فمن اتبع هداي فلا يضل ولا يشقى. صدق الله العظيم. السلام عليكم ورحمة الله وبركاته. الحمد لله, we thank Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala for allowing us to come together, mashallah. It's been quite some time. I was hoping to finish this a little while ago, but Allah Ta'ala knows best. There are a couple of weeks that came in the middle for Thanksgiving break and some other things that came up for family issues, etc. So Alhamdulillah, I'm glad we could come back. We have at least two more parts, I'm hoping, before Christmas break, we'll finish inshallah Ta'ala. So this week and next week, which are the last two sections in Surah Al-Taha. And so it actually, because I know it's been a while since we've discussed this topic, so I can imagine a lot of ideas are a little rusty. So we will try to cover some of them while we're going through this part, so that way we can kind of refresh our memories. And it really starts with the last ayah that we covered, which was the ayah about the dua of the Prophet ﷺ for increasing of knowledge. Allah Ta'ala tells the Prophet ﷺ, قُلْ رَبِّي زِدْنِي عِلْمًا. And so that part, actually, there's two parts to it. Okay, you want to remember this. There are two parts to this dua. The first part is Allah Ta'ala tells the Prophet ﷺ, don't rush to recite the Quran before it's revealed to you, and just say Rabbi zidni ilma, right? So this is the beautiful dua the Prophet that he received, and it's connected to the next part about Adam alayhi salam and Iblis, because the rushing, if you think about who rushed in the surah, was Musa alayhi salam. Musa alayhi salam rushed in the surah, and so Allah Ta'ala tells him, I gave you the example of Musa alayhi salam, don't rush. A prophet, every single action of a prophet is fard. He has to do it exactly at the right time that Allah Ta'ala told him to do it. So if Musa alayhi salam rushed and you saw his entire community got misguided, Prophet alayhi salam told, don't you rush as well, you don't rush as well, or else you'll have that, you might have a similar fate, or even worse. Okay. Wa alaykum salam. People in the chat box talking, mashallah. Okay, why are you rushing? So the Prophet alayhi salam was told not to rush, right? And now the second thing that I wanted to just kind of like quickly highlight was the benefits of this dua in itself, okay? And so the benefits of this dua are that you say, Rabbi, my Lord, who has given me so much already. You acknowledge that fact. When you say Rabbi, it means that my Allah who's given me so much, zidni, increase me before everyone else. It's a very, knowledge is something that everyone should want to have. Really, it's something everyone should want to have. Is that we should all crave it. The Prophet ﷺ, when you think about it, Allah told him to be pleased with everything. The Nabi Muhammad ﷺ is Muhammad ﷺ. He is Ahmad, the one who praises Allah for everything. So imagine that, if you are grateful for everything, do you really need any more? The Prophet ﷺ doesn't need any more from Allah. You think about it, if a person was just satisfied with what they have, that's praise, right? Allah, I'm happy. I'm absolutely happy with what you've given me. The Prophet ﷺ is the highest level of that. Everything Allah gives him, he's happy with ﷺ. So then imagine that out of everything in the world, Allah Ta'ala tells the Prophet ﷺ, alright, everything else you're satisfied with, but Rabbi Zidni Ilma, keep asking for more knowledge. The Prophet ﷺ himself, being the most, the most grateful to Allah, is told to increase in that. So then you and I should understand that the knowledge is something so beneficial, something so desirable. We should go out and strive to increase this. And don't think about other people. Rabbi Zidni, not Zidna. I know we read it Zidna because we try to increase, ask everybody, but Zidni, before everyone else, I'm sitting here for my own benefit. So the first thing we learn is to be grateful for what we have. Second thing is to increase myself in knowledge. And then the third part is that the Prophet ﷺ, this is the only thing in the Quran that the Prophet ﷺ was asked to ask more of. And in the hadith of the Prophet ﷺ, we find that the Prophet ﷺ he made a dua to increase, Allah increase me in receiving milk. Right? So there would be two du'as of ziyadah for the Prophet ﷺ, of increase. In the Quran, it's the ziyadah of knowledge. And in the hadith, it's the ziyadah of milk. Because the Prophet ﷺ said it was the most beneficial drink. Right? And so what we want to remember though is that it's, don't rush. Don't rush with what you've already received. So it's not about getting more information. This is the thing that we've mistaken as Muslims. We keep thinking the more knowledge we get means that more information I have. But we forget on the Day of Judgment, people will not be asked about the amount of information you had. It's about how much you practiced on it. So when the Prophet ﷺ is being told two things, don't rush with whatever you have. You have what you have. Now ask Allah to get deep knowledge of what you understood already. Whatever you have, get deeper into that. Understand it better. If you already have ayat of the Quran, you memorize 10 of them, learn what they mean, practice them, do what they say, and thereafter you'll get more from Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And that's what we often forget, that the goal of this information, of this knowledge, is not information, but we're supposed to be practicing it. Practicing on it. We're still getting into the groove of it, mashallah. Okay. The goal of this knowledge is not information, but it's practice. So if the Prophet was told, don't rush, by Adam alayhi's story, the idea of practicing on your knowledge and staying in remembrance of your knowledge is going to be said through the story of Adam alayhi salam. When Musa alayhi salam's story is about not rushing, Adam alayhi salam's story is going to be about practicing what you know already. Okay? So these two parts, Allah Ta'ala brought them in Surah Taha together because of that. So don't increase, don't worry about quantity, worry about the quality. So this is the final, the final portion of Surah Taha is about this idea of becoming shiqa or shaqi, the idea of becoming misfortunate. How do people become misfortunate? So Allah first starts off with, who is the person or who's the being, who's the source of all misfortune? Who's trying to get everyone to become misfortunate? That's what's going to be brought up here. And then Allah will talk about where is the place that people will find misfortune. And then the final part, which is going to be next time, is that Allah will tell us what are the means that people become distressed or have anxiety or feel depressed. Allah will talk about that at the end of Surah Taha. It's a beautiful section. So today though, we're going to talk about who causes it, and where does it happen? Where does it emerge? Okay? And so it talks about Adam alayhi salam, and you already know the guy, the big guy on the other side is Iblis, Shaytan. So Allah Ta'ala says, وَلَقَدْ عَهِدْنَا إِلَىٰ آدَمَ مِنْ قَبْلٍ فَنَسِي وَلَمْ نَجِدْ لَهُ عَزْمًا. Allah Ta'ala tells us from the beginning of the story, and it's very important, very vital, that we see it like this. Allah Ta'ala says, we had given a directive to Adam alayhi salam, we had given him a covenant, an important task to do. Fanasi, well, and everyone knows what he was supposed to do. Just don't go near that tree. Fanasi, Allah Ta'ala said, but he forgot. وَلَمْ نَجِدْ لَهُ عَزْمًا. And we didn't find, so in other words, he forgot meant that he went towards the tree. And Allah Ta'ala said, we didn't find anything in his heart that he was trying to commit a sin. He didn't mean it, he didn't intend it, there was nothing in his heart whatsoever. You and I have to study this story like this. It's extremely disrespectful. The scholars have written very clearly. It is extremely disrespectful to think that you can talk about the story very, very openly. Because you wouldn't even talk about your parents' mistakes, let alone the parents of everyone, the forefather of everyone, Nabi Adam alayhi salam. We'd be very careful when we talk about the story. Because we wouldn't talk about our sins of our own parents. And now the mistake of a Nabi, are we going to really talk about it like that? Allah Ta'ala is just telling us because He wants us to get a very important message from here. Very, very important. And one of the most ajeeb messages in the Quran is in Surah Taha here. So Allah Ta'ala tells us, don't. When you listen to the story, He's not making a mistake. Really, it's just He forgot and something happened. Okay, it's going to be a direct message to the Prophet Muhammad Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam. The Prophet Sallallahu Alaihi is going to receive something very deep from Allah, and you and I, by extension, are going to get a beautiful message from the surah. So you have to keep that in mind. وَإِذْ قُلْنَا لِلْمَلَائِكَةِ اسْجُدُوا لِآدَمَ. When we told the angels to make sajda to Adam Alaihi Wasallam, فَسَجَدُوا. Obviously, angels made sajda, illa, except Iblis. Except for Iblis. Where is, in terms of the story of Adam alayhi salam, where are we? Adam alayhi salam was just given knowledge of all the things, the names of everything. And after he received the names of everything, the knowledge of the names of everything, the angels were brought, and Allah told the angels, "Hey, tell me what these things are. Explain them to me. Define them for me." And they don't know. Right? They say, "Allah, we don't have any knowledge except that which you taught us." Then Adam alayhi salam is brought, and Allah says, "Oh Adam, teach the angels. Tell them." And so Adam alayhi salam teaches them. This is the moment when Adam alayhi salam is in the you could say the prime time of his life. The biggest part of his life is that all the angels are making sujood to Adam alayhi salam. He's shown, this is a demonstration to everyone, that Adam alayhi salam is the greatest of all of creation right now. Okay? He's the greatest of all of creation right now. When the angels will make sajda to him, there's no greater creation than the angels, and Adam alayhi salam is given sajda towards. Now, Adam alayhi salam is the greatest at that time. Nabi Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam is the greatest of all time. Okay? So this is why the story is very much connected to Nabi Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. So now, obviously, all the angels make sajda except for one guy. And you can imagine how embarrassing that is. I never really discussed this story in front of everyone here. I hope one day we can actually go through in detail. But imagine, it's Allah Ta'ala says in the Quran, فَسَجَدَ الْمَلَائِكَةُ كُلُّهُمْ أَجْمَعُونَ. All of the angels, every single one of them in existence, came to make sajda to Adam alayhi salam. How many angels are there? Trillion is not even a number to describe them. Okay, the Prophet said there's not even a space in the heavens except there's a sajda, the angel making sajda in it. A space of four fingers except that there's an angel making sajda in it. There is heavens upon heavens, the angels are just in ruku and sujood. Now imagine that all of them were summoned to, there's a sajda you need to make to Adam alayhi salam. This is quadrillion, quadrillion Google type of number. I don't know, Googleplex, I don't know what kind of number you would define to get that idea of how many angels there were. Everyone is making sajda. Except one guy who's standing. The one alif. You know the Iblis, right? The one alif in his name, right? Just that one guy standing. Okay? He has so much knowledge. He has so much knowledge. And again, if this story is about knowledge, we're understanding the harms of knowledge without practice. Because Iblis knows so much. He knows how great Allah is. But he thinks his knowledge is greater than Allah Ta'ala's command. And so because of that, Abba, he refused. He said, "No, I'm not going down for this man because I know that the command is not really for me." So he thinks he's a special snowflake. And everyone here thinks they're special snowflakes. American Islam is all about being special. Our Islam is different. It's very unique, brother. We can have men and men marry each other. We can have these LGBT things. We can have this and that. We can have a whole bunch of things. We like to be unique. Our American Islam is very unique. So Iblis is very, very unique. Illa Iblis Abba. Okay, the story is not about him though, it's really about Adam alayhi salam. فَقُلْنَا, so we said, "Ya Adam, O Adam, إِنَّ هَذَا," Allah Ta'ala is like, it's like a pointing, right? إِنَّ هَذَا, inshallah, right? This, adu, is your enemy. He hates you. Okay, when someone's your enemy, does that mean your best friend? You're going to put them as a friend on Facebook? Huh? No, the relationship is complicated, you know? That's what an enemy is. This is your enemy. Allah Ta'ala says, this is your enemy. Pay attention, Adam alayhi salam. This is your enemy. Okay? Why am I making it clear saying this, and this? Because you already know that by the end of the story, Adam alayhi salam slips. Okay? He knows clear on, spot on that Iblis is against him. And then at the end, he still ends up following him. Isn't that crazy? It's like Allah told him directly, watch out for this guy. And at the end, he's like, okay, I'm going to listen to what he says. إِنَّ هَذَا عَدُوٌّ لَكَ. He is your enemy. وَلِي زَوْجِكْ. And to the enemy of your wife. فَلَا يُخْرِجَنَّكُمَا. Don't let him take you out from Jannah. فَتَشْقَى. Then you will really feel distressed. The word shiqa, remember from the beginning of the surah, مَا أَنزَلْنَا عَلَيْكَ الْقُرْآنَ لِتَشْقَى. We didn't reveal the Qur'an so you could feel distressed. Similarly, Allah says, there is one being in all of existence that hates you so much, while you're making dhikr of Allah, 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 he's making dhikr of Adam, Adam, Adam. His entire life is, how can I get insan into Jahannam? So imagine that the life of a human being should be that I remember Allah 24/7. I'm always in the remembrance of Allah. If we could be, mashallah, Allah make us like that. You know, if we can be in a constant state of remembrance. The life of a prophet is always remembering Allah. When it comes to Iblis, his life is only remembering insan and how can bring him to Jahannam. That's his entire life. 24/7 he's thinking, how can I put them in hellfire? This type of enemy we have. This type of enemy we have. How can you and I ever survive that? So you have to think about this, and then look at what Allah talks about him. This man, Iblis, wants to take Adam and Hawa alayhi salam from Jannah. He absolutely hates them. He wants them to suffer. He wants them to receive so much torment and pain. His entire life's goal is that, how can I make human beings feel miserable? So the source of all misery and all of life and all of existence is this man named Iblis. This being named Iblis that wants all of us to feel terrible. And so he pushed Adam alayhi salam, he pushed him, he whispered to him to go and take from the tree so that way he comes out from Jannah. Okay? So human beings, Allah is telling us by extension, everyone be careful. Everyone be careful. Shaitan is always near. His entire life is that he can make our lives miserable. He can make our life difficult. But let's be honest here. Shaitan, he didn't take Adam alayhi salam's hand and put it on the tree. So what did Shaitan do? He just whispered. You and I end up committing the mistake at the end. When a human being goes and commits a sin, it ends up that our life gets less. What did the Prophet say? He said when a person commits sin, then his risk is lessened. When people ask sometimes, why is it that my money isn't enough for me? Maybe it's because there's certain haram acts in our life, quite honestly, right? Maybe certain things, just we're not doing things right. Maybe our prayer isn't correct. And so because of that, life becomes very difficult. Risk becomes less because our sins are so many. And so we have to be very careful here. Sometimes a kid will fail an exam. I'd be like, maybe it's because of the girlfriend you had. Maybe. I don't know. Allah knows, you know. But maybe it's because we're committing a sin. And so then everything in life becomes more difficult. And who's the one who's trying to drive us to commit sins? It's Shaitan giving the waswasa from the outside. Okay? So his entire goal is he put you on the target. How can he get you distressed? Okay? And his goal is, by you becoming distressed, people, imagine like someone's house burns down. Okay, imagine someone's house burns down. What happens when a person's house burns down? He starts to feel like Allah Ta'ala doesn't love him anymore. Okay? He feels like there's a loss of hope. When a person loses hope, he loses faith in Allah. When he loses faith in Allah, he becomes a kafir. Iblis doesn't care about you suffering in this world for a little bit. Iblis wants you to join him in Jahannam. He said, he wants us, you know, we're enemies in this life, he wants to be best buddies in Jahannam. That's how he is. So he's trying to get everyone into there. If you lose hope in Allah, you're going to find that kufr is right there. You're at the door of kufr. Be very careful. Remind yourself, if something bad happens in life, Allah will forgive a sin because of it. Allah will raise a status in Jannah because of it. There's some good in it. Okay, even if a person lost a child, for example, the hadith of the Prophet ﷺ says that all the children that were lost at young ages, they are with Ibrahim and Sarah alayhi salam. And they're like the grandparents that are holding your children. So the day that you come back to them in the hereafter, Ibrahim and Sarah alayhi salam are holding them so that way you can take them back. Like the same way you would leave children to the grandparents, and then you go out and do something and come back home. Similarly, Allah Ta'ala left it like that for them. MashaAllah. And the Prophet ﷺ said that people who lose children, they will find that they will be, that the child will argue with Allah and say, Allah, please put my parents in Jannah. SubhanAllah. And so they will enter Jannah with their child as well. There's nothing, in other words, anything that happens in life which will distress us, there's no reason to be distressed. Something good will come out of it, inshallah. Okay? So Allah Ta'ala said to Adam alayhi salam, which is really interesting, He said, this is your enemy and the enemy of your wife. Shaitan is not targeting only men. Shaitan targets women. Shaitan targets anyone who's reached the age of baligh. He's targeting everybody. And he will get to us. If he can't get to us, he'll get to our family. Allah is telling Adam alayhi salam, he's going to attack your wife. Imagine someone told you, hey, he's going to attack you and your wife. So you muscular, mashallah, guy who lifts like, you know, mashallah, so many mashallah weights at the mashallah gym, mashallah, which right now is mashallah closed. You can't do that. Okay, fine. Alhamdulillah, you're a strong guy. How about your family? Would you let anyone ever attack your family? You'd actually defend them more. You'd be around them more. You'd be more protective of them. You'd be make sure that if I'm going to eat halal, she's going to eat 10 times halal. If I'm eating, you know, if I'm getting halal risk, she's going to get halal risk. If I make sure I don't listen to music, for sure my wife is not going to listen to music. Because if I'm worried some enemy is attacking me and my wife, are you joking? I'm going to protect my wife as much as I can. Allah is telling all the husbands in the world, be active and protective of your family. Because if Shaitan can't get you through your door, he's going to get you from the main door, which is your wife. And this is a reminder for sisters that don't just think that, okay, if my husband's out there, it's completely fine. You know, he's fighting Shaitan, I'm completely at home, my house is guarded. No, man, it's not like that. Shaitan will find one way into the family. It's either to the husband or to the wife. And once he causes discord between them, forget about the children. Absolutely forget about the children. Till today, and I tell you, man, subhanAllah, you know, I received too many, even COVID-19 has been like the worst for marriage cases. The other day I received a message from one of the sisters who, she was really, really adamant about marrying this one guy. Really, really adamant about marrying this one guy. And, you know, she said her parents weren't okay with it. Parents weren't okay with it, okay? And I apologize to the sisters listening, that's totally my bad. But just for ishara and for learning purposes, and may Allah reward the sister for her, she's going through a lot, you know? So her parents said no, and she was like yes. And I told her, I said, make istikhara. I said, parents have a really, they have a discerning eye. Maybe that you don't see something and they see something, you know? In defense of parents, I'm not always saying they're 100% right. I'm not saying children are 100% wrong. You know, there could be a mix in between. It's a mixed bag. So what happens is, this sister, she really wants to get married. So I tell her my advice. I said, make istikhara, make dua. And look, Islamically, it is your right. I'm not going to say it's not your right. But I would really suggest, if your parents see something, maybe you should listen to them. You know, you might find a better guy. Like, she's like, nah, they're just being racist. They just hate like Indians or something, whatever, you know? I'm like, okay, fine, you know? So I just said that, make dua. I can't make the decision for you. It's up to you. I can make it halal. That's the only thing I really can do, you know? So then she says this, and then she says, if I could get married, I'm like, I don't know if I can really do it. The masjid kind of got my back on that, alhamdulillah. So, because I don't really like to do these things, because I've seen too many cases like that. So 1 year later, this was a year ago. 1 year later, I get the message, do parents have to be involved to dissolve the marriage? Oh, do parents have to be involved in dissolving the marriage? You know, we don't understand, we don't value this relationship of husband and wife. Shaitan really wants to break this up. This eye of anything is reminding us to be very, very careful about the marital relationship, because Shaitan will definitely come in between. And he just wants you to be distressed. He just wants you to have a terrible life. Be very careful of Shaitan. The only one who can protect you from Shaitan is not YouTube or Netflix or anything, WhatsApp or whatever. It's Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Because you cannot fight an enemy who's thinking about you 24/7. It's impossible. It's impossible. You know, you have to let Allah ta'ala deal with it for you. And you have to make dua to Allah. This is the only way to protect yourself from Shaitan. Okay? So now, what does Allah say? I don't want you to feel distressed, O Adam. إِنَّكَ أَلَّا تَجُوعَ. If you stay in Jannah, أَلَّا تَجُوعَ فِيهَا وَلَا تَعْرَى وَأَنَّكَ لَا تَظْمَأُ فِيهَا وَلَا تَضْحَى. Beautiful, beautiful ayat. Allah Ta'ala says, surely in Jannah you'll never be hungry. And you'll never feel unclothed. You'll never be naked here. Okay? And so this is beautiful, because hunger, if you think about hunger and clothing, right? There is, when you don't have clothes on the outside, it's like you're empty on the outside. And when you're hungry, it's like you're empty on the inside. So Allah Ta'ala put hunger and being not clothed together. And the second set of ayats, Allah Ta'ala said, well, you won't be thirsty and you won't be exposed to the sun. Okay? Obviously, if you're exposed to the sun, it means you're feeling hot on the outside. And thirst is what? Hot on the inside. Right? And the same thing with hunger and thirst. First ayah and second ayah are connected. And if you don't have clothes, obviously you're cold. And the second ayah says you're going to feel a little hot. Right? And if you notice this, by the way, if you start to feel hungry, eventually you start to shiver. So it's actually hunger and cold are connected to each other in the first ayah. And if you're thirsty, then you start to feel hotter on the outside. So those two parts are connected together. And if you're thinking this was amazing, this is literally just the tip of the iceberg. I had to go through pages upon pages of scholars just talking about how amazing these two ayats are connected. It's a miracle of Allah Ta'ala that you could do this, you know? So in any case, Allah is telling Adam alayhi salam, all your basic needs of a human being are taken care of in Jannah. All your basic needs. Food, thirst, clothing, and heat, right? Because no one likes to feel, you know, hot or uncomfortable. Okay? Where do you find hunger, thirst, heat and cold? You don't find it in Jannah. You find it in dunya. So Allah is telling us that the discomfort in what we experience is all because of the fact that we're in this world. This world will always have this level of discomfort. You can't dodge it. If you don't eat for some time, what's going to happen? You're going to feel hungry. If you don't drink some water, eventually you're going to feel thirsty. You got to wear clothes, because then you can feel cold, right? Massachusetts, well, I don't know about Massachusetts, you know. Normal places will have winter and winter and summer and summer. But Massachusetts has all four seasons in 1 week, you know. So I don't really know about that, you know. So you wear one type of clothes and you're like, it's not working anymore, right? MashaAllah. So this place will always have difficulties. Allah has told us in these two sets of ayats, who's the causer of discomfort is Iblis. And then where is the place where you find discomfort is this world. And so if this is the basics in life, you know, hardships come from these four things. If this is the basics, imagine anything beyond that. Anything beyond that. In life, there's going to be anything you add on top of the basics of food, drink, clothing, and in heat, whatever. If you add anything beyond that, you're going to find that there are even more hardships on top of those things. That's how life is. The more you complicate your life, the more you stack on top of yourself, the more you're going to find distress. Okay, so for example, you have one car. So now your perishan is only on one car. How about the guy who has two cars? I was thinking about both cars. Now you have three cars. Your perishan increases to four, three cars. People are like, mashallah, he lives in a mansion. right? People are like, mashallah, you live in a mansion. I'm like, oh no, he lives in a mansion. Because now you have to think about so many rooms. You know, I can imagine, like, imagine you left a room behind, like, just, you know, you don't really clean up the room. There's a lot of spiders, cobwebs, all this stuff starts to emerge. Imagine you had 15 rooms to think about. Oh, I gotta hire a maid. I gotta hire another person. I gotta hire this. Oh no, there's an issue with the roof now. There's an issue with this. So many issues just keep emerging. The more you decide to pile your life in dunya, the more difficulty is going to come up. As opposed to whom? The Nabi Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. The Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam's life was so simple that Aisha radiallahu anha, when she was resting, the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam got up for tahajjud. And so when the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam was praying his tahajjud, he would go down for sajda and he would have to tap the legs of Aisha to tuck in so he can make sujood properly. This is how small the house of the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam was. The Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam said to make the masjid like the hut, like the home of Musa alayhi salam. When he put his hand up, he would touch the ceiling. Because the more you have things in your grasp, the easier it is to handle. But when you put things so high ceiling, you can't even touch it anymore. Now you have to hire someone to take care of it. So many problems emerge because we decide to stack things on dunya. Then you wonder why Black Friday is such a great thing for us. Because now we had one TV, now we needed 15 more TVs. Now we have to worry about more TVs, right? You know, Allah give us tawfiq and hidayah and understanding, right? So Allah Ta'ala tells us that there is a place though that everyone wouldn't you love to not feel thirsty? Wouldn't you love not to feel hungry, to never feel hot anymore, to feel cold anymore? You know what the most frustrating time is of the day? For me, it is a time when you're exhausted and tired, right? And then you forgot to put the curtain, like it's morning time, and you forgot to put the curtain on properly. So then when you're sleeping, I know you all experience this, is that when you're sleeping, the curtain, that one ray of light, shaitan made it so they hit your eyes, and you're just so mad, you know? And I'm telling you that Allah Ta'ala said, وَلَا تَضْحَى. You will never feel the duha. You'll never feel the morning, that creak of the curtain to wake you up when you're tired. That's how much you're not going to find any anxiety or depression in Jannah. Okay, imagine if this is the basics. Allah said the basics, no hot, no cold, no thirst, no hunger. If that's the bare minimum in Jannah, what's beyond that? Allah SWT is telling us, desire it. Go, it'd be very nice to live there. Everyone would love to live there. Allah SWT says in the hadith of the Prophet ﷺ, I prepared for my slaves, مَا لَا عَيْنٌ رَأَتْ وَلَا أُذُنٌ سَمِعَتْ وَلَا خَطَرْ عَلَىٰ قَلْبِ بَشَرٍ. That I prepared for my righteous slaves, something which no eye has seen, no ear has heard, and no heart has even thought about. This is something that Jannah is. If you think about Jannah and think it's going to be like this, you have no idea what Jannah is. You don't know what Jannah is. Because you can't think about it. It's beyond what we can understand. So then Allah described Jannah in such a beautiful way. فَوَسْوَسَ إِلَيْهِ الشَّيْطَانِ. It comes so direct. For those people who studied Arabic, when you use fa, it's different from wa. Wa means that it happened after some time. And this happened. Fa means so immediately. وَسْوَسَ إِلَيْهِ الشَّيْطَانِ. As soon as Allah gave him the command to Adam a.s., don't get deceived, don't eat from this tree, immediately shaitan comes to him. قَالَ يَا Adam. Okay, he says, oh Adam, هَلْ أَدُلُّكَ, can't I guide you, should I not guide you, to عَلَى شَدْرَةِ الْخُوذِ, a tree of everlasting life, وَمُلْكِ لَا يَبَلَى, and a kingdom that will never disappear. Oh Adam, don't you want that? Wouldn't you love to live forever? And wouldn't you love to be in a place that never disappears? Okay? So now, this is, think about it. Wouldn't you want to live forever, A? And wouldn't you want to be in a place that never disappears? Where is Adam alayhi salam right now? He's in Jannah. Isn't Jannah a place that never disappears? Isn't Jannah a place where you live forever? It's quite literally the place that Allah told him that Adam alayhi salam was in. And this is the type of deception Iblis does. He's like, no, what Allah told you is not really what he meant. I have something even better for you. I have a place that if you actually eat from it, this won't disappear. Okay? And so Iblis is actually telling him exactly what Allah told him not to do. It's crazy. And even Allah even explained that Jannah is eternal. And Shaitan is using that against him. Because everyone loves something that never disappears. So when Iblis kept saying it over and over and over and over again, Adam alayhi salam thought about it, that I'm a human being. Perhaps one day this is going to disappear. And Iblis is promising me, Shaitan is promising me, that if I just eat from this tree, then I can find that I'll live forever. And this place will never disappear. Yeah, Adam is worried that maybe Allah will take me out one day. Maybe Allah will take him out one day. So he feeds off the anxiety of a human. And so we learn so many important things from this verse about the enemy. The first thing is what? Shaitan immediately starts to whisper. As soon as you heard the command, as soon as you leave the halaqa, Allah, then you'll find the shaitan will start to whisper to you. Second thing is what? Ilayhi. How shaitan From some of the mufassirin, some of the scholars of tafsir, they say that shaitan is not there right now. Ilayhi, but the message of shaitan reaches Adam alayhi salam, directly reaches him. And so this is the thing, shaitan will be so distant, but he will make sure to get you whatever way you are. If Adam alayhi salam is in Jannah, in such a protected area, yet shaitan has access to the hearts, then how about you and I? Even in the masjid of Allah Ta'ala, shaitan will grab us somehow. If we're in a place that's bad, don't even think about it. Some people say that, why did I get attacked by that jinn, or why did that sihr, that jadu stuff happen? I mean, let's be quite honest, like, we have to be very careful with our bodies, and make sure that we're pure. A lot of times we're in areas that are najis or filthy, or people are talking about najis or filthy things. And because of that, shaitan has a way to come inside. Alhamdulillah, because you're in the masjid of Allah, there is a level of protection. But mind you, and understand this, that you and I are not so special that you think shaitan is going to not touch you at all. Adam was in Jannah. He's the Nabi of Allah. And look at what shaitan is doing. He's entering his heart. He's talking to him. Okay? He reached him and told him that, hey, by the way, boy, he talks to him like a friend. I can tell you about a really nice thing. Should I not tell you about a tree that'll let you live forever? He asks him a question like he's his friend. Shaitan, when he starts to give you waswasa, he doesn't go through these hard types of discussions. He goes through a way that sounds so nice. It sounds so good. It sounds so inviting. It sounds so great. Say that you can just marry the girl at the end. Why don't you just talk to the girl in your school? No problem, because you can just marry her. Come on, you can get one house on riba. It's completely fine. You think Allah wanted you to suffer and live on rent for the rest of your life? You know, He'll tell you things that sound nice. And you ask it in a way that's a question. So certain people, because they do so much dhikr and azkar, they can start to hear the waswas of shaitan. But for the general people that's out there, for everyone else in the world, we don't hear shaitan. We only hear ourselves talking to ourselves. But shaitan is speaking within there. So whenever you hear someone calling you towards a sin, no, that's not you. That's not an angel. That's shaitan that's trying to talk to you. Okay? What did he tell Adam alayhi salam? He told him, can't I tell you about a really nice tree? Don't you want to find a really nice tree? Don't you want to see a really nice tree? Don't you want to learn about a really nice tree? Now, what is Adam alayhi salam's his love? His love is knowledge. So when Iblis told him about a tree that he didn't know about, think about it. Adam alayhi salam was taught the names of everything. Asma'a kullaha, the names of everything. And shaitan tells him, hey, you missed one tree. You don't know about this one tree. And I know about it. It's Shajaratul Khul. It's a tree of eternity, tree of everlasting life. And Adam's like, oh yeah, well, tell me about it, you know? And so this is where the forgetfulness starts. Because shaitan starts to pull Adam alayhi salam from the thing that he likes. And so we like something in life. It's a house, it's a car, it's a woman, it's a relationship, it's something. And shaitan will start to pick at that and look at that. You like to waste time. You like to waste time. You like to watch news. Right? That's the thing. That's your thing. You love video games, right? That's just who you are. Okay, that's fine. There's a certain level that, okay, I could say halal yani and haram yani, you know? So there's a certain part that I'd be like, okay, that's okay. And the other part is like, no, that's not okay anymore. What does shaitan do? He takes you from the halal and moves you towards the haram. So he starts to tell Adam, hey, you know this tree? What's wrong? You know, it's clearly a tree that is everlasting life and it's going to benefit you. Another place in the Quran, Allah Ta'ala says, فَدَلَّهُمَا بِغُرُورٍ. He starts to move Adam alayhi salam closer and closer and closer to that tree. He moves him from halal trees to the one haram tree. So imagine every single tree is halal in Jannah, and just one tree is haram. Shaitan works for years to move Adam alayhi salam from all the halal trees towards the haram tree. Okay? So you distract Adam alayhi salam through that. And so this is the idea of the story in general, is about knowledge. So Iblis does that, where he convinces Adam alayhi salam that he says, مَا نَهَاكُمَا رَبُّكُمَا عَنْ تِلْكُمَا الشَّجَرَةِ إِلَّا أَنْ تَكُونَ مَلَكَيْنِ. He says, your Lord didn't really prohibit you from this tree, except that, you know, your Lord just wanted that this tree would have made you angels, and you would have lived here forever. So he actually tells him the flip. He says, there's a reason why Allah prohibited the tree. Okay, and that's what happens to people when shaitan comes to them. He tells them that there's a reason why Allah did this. And you don't, because you didn't understand the reason, that's why it's haram. Once you understand the reason, now it becomes halal. Okay? Riba was only haram because why? So they'll say, because it oppresses people. It causes zulm on people. There's no oppression, therefore riba is halal. Right? And it's the same thing with the machine slaughter. All the meat is haram out there. Because all the meat is haram now, everything becomes halal. You can't do anything, brother. You're majboor. Right? You're muhtaj. You need it. So shaitan will start to play with you with reasons. Because he made a reason for not making sajda to Adam alayhi salam. He said that I'm made out of fire, he's made out of dirt. So clearly I don't need to make sajda. So he put a reason behind what he did. So now for everyone else, he says, I have a good reason for you. So be very careful. If Allah Ta'ala gives you a command, if you understand it or not, does that mean the command, does that command lose value? You still do the command. Because the hukum of Allah is the hukum of Allah. Doesn't matter if you understood it or not. But if you start to tell yourself there's a reason why, and then you stop doing it, then you fall into the trap of shaitan. That's what he does here. And so finally, what happens is what? That he pushes and pushes and pushes, and you know he inspires Adam alayhi salam to go towards a kingdom that would never fade, and everyone loves that. Everyone would love to have that. Really, as human beings, we love that we could live forever, number one. That's why like Forever 21, YOLO, all this stuff comes up because people just want to live, you know? They just want to exist. And they want that nothing disappears, but things fade, right? Things, that car you had one day, the mileage will go, and it's going to disappear one day. The house you have is going to, you know, wear out. It's going to, the paint you put on this, the walls are going to fade. You know, the beauty that we have is going to fade, right? Everything's going to fade eventually. We'd love if someone told us that you could live forever. That's why they're doing all this genetics, the study of genes, right? To try and figure out what is the gene that kills you, right? That causes death, and they're trying to take it out because of that, right? They're trying to upload our minds into computers because why? Because we just want to live forever on the internet, right? When a person forgets that you will die and you still will live on the internet, right? Because your entire profile was up there. This is how it is, right? This is what dunya is. No one's going to live forever. If someone were to promise you, like Elon Musk or whatever, were to tell you, and his last name is Musk, which is hilarious to me. But like, if you know, someone were to tell you that you can just upload your brain onto the web, onto the internet, and you could live forever, who wouldn't want to do that? You know, cryogenically freeze yourself, right? Like Walt Disney, like be trying to kill himself, you know? Because why? You could live forever. Why not? It sounds great. Iblis is saying the same thing. Why not? Live for longer. But Allah Ta'ala put this in us because we want to. Because we were in Jannah one time. So we just want to go back there because it is a place where you live forever. Quite literally, you live forever there. So we all want that. And Allah Ta'ala says, I have a place called Jannah. Just do good deeds. Pray your salah, you'll get there. Iblis is saying, I got it even quicker for you, bro. I can make it even faster. But there's no way to get faster, right? The faster you follow Iblis, the faster you'll find that you're in trouble. And so what happens is what? فَأَكَلَ مِنْهَا. So there is an entire process here, which these ayats skip over. But basically what happens is, shaitan, he convinces Adam alayhi salam. And finally, after years of work, finally Adam alayhi salam completely forgets that Allah told him originally that don't go near the tree. And he's convinced completely now that, oh, just because it was something that I wasn't ready for, now I'm ready for. And then I just want to live forever, there's nothing wrong with it. And he completely forgets that Allah told him not to go near it. So he gets near it, Hawa alayhi salam grabs the fruit, and she grabs it, or whatever it's there, she brings it to herself, and she brings it to Adam alayhi salam, and they both eat from it. Okay? فَأَكَلَا مِنْهَا فَبَدَتْ لَهُمَا سَوْآتُهُمَا. Immediately wants to eat from it, the first blessing of Jannah that's removed is the clothes. That's the first blessing that they removed. The external thing that's right next to them, that's right on their skin, completely removed. Okay? And at this moment, they start to panic, because they never felt naked before. So at this moment, the animal side came out. Because what happens when you commit a sin is that you're following your animal, your hayawan inside. You're following the animal inside you. So the same way that is exposed is that the clothing disappears. And so you'll find a society that has no haya, no modesty whatsoever, they become more and more naked. That's when you know they're becoming like animals. And because that's what shaitan wanted. And so you can see in our society, for example, that people, they love the fact that people are more naked. The tighter clothes you can wear, right? The more you can show yourself. That's literally what shaitan did to Adam alayhi salam in the beginning of time. And you can see that at the end of time, shaitan is getting a hand over people again. So they immediately grab all the leaves of Jannah. فَطَفِقَ يَخْصِفَانِ. They start to stitch, to sew the leaves of Jannah onto themselves. Because if I can just take a piece of Jannah with me. Because they realize at that moment, what Allah Ta'ala told them in the beginning. And they completely messed up. And they know that right now is the time they're going to leave. It's going to happen. So they said, as many leaves as we can get, let's put it on ourselves. Maybe we can take something with us. Something with us. But you all know, you're not taking anything with you. So Allah Ta'ala says, they both ate from it. Their shameful parts were exposed to them. And they started stitching on themselves some of the leaves of Jannah. And they felt like they lost the most important part of them, because they're going to lose Jannah. Imagine you lived in a place like you never feel hungry, thirsty, you know, you never lost clothes, you never felt cold, never felt hot. It's such a great place to be in. And at that moment, Allah says, you got to get out. So they just felt such a deep connection there. وَعَصَى أَدَمُ رَبَّهُ فَغَوَى. Allah says, Adam alayhi salam disobeyed his Lord, and he made a big mistake. Allah, he went completely off. Okay? These are very harsh words. And again, that's why we said in the beginning, you and I can't talk like this about a prophet. Allah can talk about it because He created everyone and He can talk about them like that. Why is Allah using such harsh words? I want you to understand this, okay? If you forget something, let's say you forgot to pray, are you responsible for that? Or even easier example, let's say in Ramadan you forgot that you were fasting. So you ended up having a halal cheeseburger or something. Did your fast break? It doesn't. If you're like, oh man, I was fasting. Oh, alhamdulillah, it's fine. You're not responsible for things you forget. And Adam alayhi salam, he's also human. He's also now responsible for things that he forgets. Okay, but why is it different for Adam alayhi salam, not as the human, but Adam alayhi salam as a prophet? Because a prophet is not allowed to forget. That's the difference here. That you and I as humans can forget. It's part of our nature to forget. That the first human forgot, so everyone else forgot. But the prophets of Allah never got allowed to forget Allah Ta'ala. And so that moment where he forgot, it was like the biggest crime in the world. They say that the sins of the close one, the good deeds of the pious people are like sins of the close people to Allah Ta'ala. Hasanatul abrar sayyatul muqarrabin. That the sins of the pious people, the good deeds of the pious people are like sins to the people who are very close to Allah. That they live on a very high level. Like for example, for us, we don't even pray the sunnah of Asr, right? We never pray it, right? Whereas pious people will be like, you missed the sunnah of Asr, what's wrong with you? Be like, whoa bro, I didn't even know. Be like, come on man. You know, like small things they would consider so big. And so imagine, like pious people are like that. Imagine Anbiya alayhi salam, prophets. A small thing like forgetting Allah Ta'ala's command, never going to happen. So the Prophet is being told by Allah that don't forget me at any moment. And now this is the major lesson for all of us. Just a couple more minutes, we'll be done inshallah. Adam alayhi salam was given as a lesson for all of his children. Okay? You and I should be grateful. Sometimes a father will take a burden that the children can never bear. That our fathers work very hard for us. And people raising children know how much they work for their children. They work so hard. May Allah reward all the parents. Ameen. The father will do certain things that the children cannot bear. So the first crime was committed by the first man, so that way you and I can understand how to get ourselves out of the situation. So because what? Allah Ta'ala tells us that ثُمَّ اجْتَبَاهُ رَبُّهُ فَتَابَ عَلَيْهِ وَهَدَى. Then Allah Ta'ala brought him close. And Allah Ta'ala told Adam alayhi salam, this is how you seek tawbah from me. And so then he raises his hands and says, رَبَّنَا ظَلَمْنَا أَنفُسَنَا وَإِن لَمْ تَغْفِرْ لَنَا وَتَرْحَمْنَا لَنَكُونَنَّ مِنَ الْخَاسِرِينَ. Oh Allah, we oppressed ourselves. If you don't have mercy on us and you don't forgive us, we're going to be from the losers. He makes this dua, وَهَدَى. Allah Ta'ala says, I guided you more now. It's a beautiful ayah. Allah Ta'ala first says, I brought him close because I wanted him close. And then second thing is what? Then Adam alayhi salam learns the dua. And then Adam alayhi salam makes the dua and Allah Ta'ala forgives him. And after he gets forgiven, Allah says, I'll get you even more guided now. Okay? So the beautiful part is this. Who started it in the beginning? Allah Ta'ala started it. Allah said, I want this person close. After he wants someone close, he teaches them the dua. After they do use the dua, then Allah Ta'ala forgives them. And after they were forgiven, then Allah Ta'ala says, I bring you more close to me now. The hidayah then comes even closer. And this is shaitan's fundamental mistake. You think that shaitan won at the end. I think everyone thinks shaitan won at the end. But I think shaitan lost. Very much shaitan lost. And even from the Quranic perspective, he lost. How do we know that? Because shaitan thought that if I make Adam alayhi salam sin, he will lose. Right? If I make him slip and eat from the tree, he will lose. And then he will become like me, or even worse than me. But Adam alayhi salam was so smart, and Allah loved Adam alayhi salam so much, that Adam alayhi salam made dua to Allah immediately. Iblis, when he was asked by Allah, why did you do it? Iblis defended himself. When Adam alayhi salam was asked by Allah Ta'ala, why did you do it? Adam said, Allah, I made a mistake, please forgive me. I didn't mean it. He didn't defend anything he did. And that's the thing. If we make a mistake, be honest. Don't pretend like you're the special snowflake that you're allowed to commit sins and everyone else is not allowed to commit sins. That's what people think, right? I'm the only person in all of America who can get that house. I'm the only person who can eat the haram meat. I'm the only person who can shave my beard. I'm the only person who can do these things. Because why? Because I'm the special snowflake. You're not special. No one is special. If anyone would deserve to be special, it's Adam alayhi salam. But he wasn't special. He went through it too. You and I are going to go through it too. The most important thing is that when these things happen, Ya Allah, please forgive me. I made a mistake. And so what happens is shaitan thought, I want to make Adam alayhi salam fall. But the tawbah that Adam alayhi salam made him closer to Allah. Allah said, we guided him afterwards. Now his story, every time you benefit from the story of Adam alayhi salam, who receives the reward of that benefit? It's Adam alayhi salam. This is the thing. Everyone's tawbah, who started the sunnah of tawbah? It's Adam. So anyone who makes tawbah afterwards, Adam Hashem gets the ajr. So when Iblis thought, I got him. I got that mother, you know? Allah Ta'ala says, nope, you didn't. Because Adam alayhi salam made tawbah, so now he's closer to me. So remember this, if we made a mistake, just let it go, make tawbah to Allah, get back up and do it again, and Allah will guide you even closer. And maybe your story will become something that will be a guidance for other people. And this was the final lesson. After this, Allah Ta'ala says, for everyone, your lesson is over, Adam. You learned everything you need to learn. Now go to the earth. Now you have the understanding I wanted you to understand. Is that in this training ground of Jannah, the final lesson that you had to have was how to make tawbah to me. You learned how to do it, go into the world, and now you know how to get success in this life. So if you make a mistake, return to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, and you know how to do it because Adam alayhi salam did it for you. So the last part is, قَالَ اهْبِطَ مِنْهَا جَمِيعًا. All of you go down. Okay? And inshallah we'll cover the final part, which is, in life, where are the places of misfortune? Where are the places that we become distressed and depressed from? And Allah tells us in the Quran very clearly. He says, just watch out for these things, which is the last part of Surah Taha. We ask Allah for guidance and tawfiq. He allows us to appreciate these stories and allow us to benefit from them, to learn from the people of the past, learn from Adam and Islam, watch out for the traps of Iblis and Shaitan, and be very careful in our lives and for the lives of our families, inshallah ta'ala. We ask Allah for afiyah and siha for everyone, and hope that everyone is fine and well in their homes, inshallah. Allah keep everyone safe, inshallah ta'ala. Wa sallallahu ala sayyidina Muhammad wa ala alihi wa sahbihi ajma'in. Jazakumullahu khairan. Assalamu alaikum wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh.